You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast as we start a new week. It's August 27th, 2018, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Although we're not probably not starting a week on the note the Jets would have wanted, they fell to the New York Giants in the third preseason game, 22-16. So I actually looked it up, because last week I kept saying I wasn't sure if the Snoopy Trophy still exists. Apparently the Snoopy Trophy is no longer a thing, so take solace, Jets fans. The Giants did not win the Snoopy Trophy, because apparently the Peanuts are no longer part of MetLife, which sponsored this game, and so the Giants did walk away with no hardware, but Jets walk away from the third preseason game probably not feeling that great about themselves. It was not a good performance. Not the way you want to move into the regular season. Not the note you want to move into the regular season on. And that's really kind of where the Jets are, because there is one preseason game left a little bit later this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. But that's known as, I mean, that's unofficially known as the backup bowl, where the starters sit out so that they get some rest. You know, this is one of the last chances they'll get to rest between, you know, now and the end of the season. You have your one bye week, and then there might be a week or two where you have an, you have a little extra time to prepare. But this is, I mean, the opportunities to just take a week off, you know, avoid the hits, avoid taking hits on your body in games, there aren't going to be many opportunities. So you won't see any of the primary players on this team suit up a little bit later this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. This was the last time you'll see the starters until week one, until the Jets open the season against the Detroit Lions. And again, they did not start, they're not going into the season on a high note. This was, Jets lose by six, but this was just an ugly performance on a number of different levels for this football team. But we'll start by discussing one of the positives, and if there's going to be a positive, at least it's this positive, is that Sam Darnold again played pretty well. I think he probably wrapped up the starting job. You know, last week I said that I felt like if he went out there and played credible football, competent football, did not look over his head, I thought he probably would wrap up the starting job. Todd Bowles has said he's not going to announce it till next week, so we'll see what happens on that front. But it's very difficult for me now to see anybody starting week one against Detroit other than Darnold. Darnold finishes the night. The numbers, again, do not look great. You know, you can't judge quarterback play solely on the numbers, and this is an example why. He was only 8 of 16, 86 yards, so again, a average of under 6 yards per attempt. But, you know, I went back and watched his passing attempts Friday night before I went to bed, and, you know, of the 8 incompletions, of the 8 incompletions, I saw 3 that were throwaways, 1 that was batted at the line, and 4 that hit the receiver in the hands. Not maybe not necessarily a drop, but hit the receiver in the hands. And you know, people get people talk about these stats, and they, you know, try and say, oh well, you know, Darnold can't be criticized. Nobody's criticizing Darnold in this fan base. Well, look, I've never had a problem criticizing a quarterback who plays poorly, and I will not have a problem criticizing Darnold when he plays poorly. But at the end of the day, we're talking about he had 12 passes that were not batted down at the line of scrimmage, that targeted a wide receiver. They were not throwaways, not batted down at the line of scrimmage. All 12 of them hit the receivers in the hands. You know, 8 completions, 4 hit the receivers in the hand that fell incomplete. All the quarterback could do was get the ball to the receiver. He can't catch the ball for the receiver. And so, I mean, I look at each play, you know, individually, and for the most part in preseason, I look at what the reads were available for the quarterback, and I don't have the all 22, so I can't say definitively, but almost all of them, Darnold's making the correct read. He's getting the throwing an accurate pass to the receiver. So, I mean, I don't know what else you want the quarterback to do. You know, you talk about the stats. I mean, again, he can't catch the ball for the receivers. Now, there were a couple rookie mistakes. There was one intentional grounding he took where he did throw the ball away, but he just stood in the pocket too long. I mean, he had between 4 and 5 seconds to throw the ball, and he was under pressure, and then he threw the ball away while in the pocket to nobody in particular. So that was a rookie mistake. And then you're at the end of the first half when he was running a 2-minute drill. Out of the 2-minute warning, the Jets had a 2nd and long, and Darnold hit Terrell Pryor for a short gain. So that brought up 3rd and long. Clock running. Darnold rushes the team back to the line and snaps the ball very quickly. And in that situation, between, you know, clock running, 3rd and long from fairly deep within your own territory, that's a situation where, you know, you have to think about what you're doing you have to consider the possibility that this drive's not going to work out. You almost have to go into defense mode, because in that situation, your number one job, above all else, yes, you'd like to score, but your number one job is to leave the Giants with as little time as possible. So that was a situation that called for letting the clock run a little bit. So a little bit of a rookie mistake there. This was not a perfect game for Darnold, but more good than bad, I think, clearly. And, you know, people talk about, well, they're not throwing the ball down the field. Well, first of all, it's preseason. You know, we're looking at a pretty vanilla playbook. But second of all, and I can already hear the complaints about Jeremy Bates. I mean, this passing game is built on throwing the ball short and guys making plays after the catch. And then, you know, the throwing short builds up to – this is not a defense that tries to stretch you to open things up underneath. This is a defense that tries to pick you apart underneath to get the defense to climb up, and then you hit them over the top. So this offense is going to be based on the short passing game. Receivers have to make more plays after the catch for this team once we get to the regular season. You know, so that – I mean, I just don't understand it's a minority of fans, but I just do not understand the quibbles about Darnold's play right now. I mean, what more do you want from a – I mean, it's almost like he has to go out there and be Aaron Rodgers. I listen to some people, and you think if he's not Aaron Rodgers as a 21-year-old, you know, making plays left and right, making big plays left and right, that, you know, this is a failure. All you can ask of a 21-year-old rookie in preseason is to go out and make the right reads, and that's pretty much what he's doing all the time. And it's not necessarily that he's going to go out there and play great, because, I mean, you look at the supporting cast he has, and I think this game was a good example. You know, a good reminder for Jets fans, maybe pump the brakes a little bit on your expectations for this team, which actually is that, you know, you look at, and we're going to get into some of the other areas where this team did not play well, maybe some of the roster deficiencies. This is not a very talented football team. This is a team that's going to be very hard-pressed to put together a winning season, which to me is almost another reason that Darnold should be the starter, because, you know, I don't know that this team's really going anywhere with Teddy Bridgewater either. I mean, there are just so many holes, there's so many weaknesses on this team, and they were on full display in this game. The other positive I'll give you one other positive from this game, though, and that was the play of Terrell Pryor. And this was not, again, a monster game for Pryor, but only two catches, 16 yards, but really, really, really impressive run after the catch on the touch. Really the one time a Jets receiver did much of anything after the catch all preseason, where he caught a little, short little pass over the middle. It was, you know, that's what was there again for Darnold saw him, and it should have been, you know, a nice little gain on first downs that he cut up the sideline and scored really an electric run for a touchdown. The Jets need some more of that playmaking. So Pryor was, I would say, the other positive for the Jets in this game. MyBookie has been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. They have live in-game betting, rewarding player perks, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can actually bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. MyBookie.com, that's MyBookie.com. And promo code locked on when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. That's really all I got for positives for the Jets in this week 3 preseason game, because there was a lot of negative, and I think there were lots of issues that showed you the issues on this roster. And I'll start at the tight end position, which was just, this was a ghastly performance by the tight end group. This was not good. And there's been plenty of buzz around this position group in training camp. You constantly hear about how guys are making plays, and I mean, I've read writers suggest that, well, the Jets should keep an extra tight end. They should keep, you know, maybe you usually keep three. Maybe the Jets should keep an extra guy. And I'm sitting there, it's definitely just not adding up for me when I'm hearing this stuff, because this is not a great tight end group, to say the least. To say the least, this is not a great tight end group. I mean, there's not a lot of talent here. There's not a lot of proven play, and I don't know there's a ton of upside with this group. I mean, maybe Chris Herndon, the fourth-round pick, he's going to stay, and he should stay. You're not going to cut your fourth-round pick, but I don't know. Why would you keep four? Why would you keep an extra guy at one of your weakest positions? Every GM has some strengths and some weaknesses, and one of Mike Maccagnan's biggest weaknesses is clearly the tight end position, because – the production the Jets have gotten out of the tight end position during his tenure with this team is cartoonishly bad. Not just bad. I mean, it's not bad would be an understatement. I mean, when Austin Seferian Jenkins is the best tight end Mike Maccagnan's brought in during his time with this team, and he's not that good. And it was on display Friday night. I mean, this tight end, I counted 5 penalties against these guys. And I told you about the 4 passes Darnold threw that hit a receiver in the hands that fell to the ground incomplete. They had 3 of them. And it was 3 different guys. It wasn't, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable how bad these guys were on Friday night. The other one was Robbie Anderson, who, you know, it's odd because Darnold's been with Anderson all camp, and the two of them just are not on the same page at all. Meanwhile, Quincy Enunwa has missed so much time. Darnold and him, he looked like they have chemistry. There was one person in the comments on website Gangrene Nation who said that Enunwa and Darnold looked like old friends, and Anderson and Darnold looked like they're on an awkward blind date, which, you know, kind of described the lack of chemistry. But back to the tight ends are just, this is a terrible group. Eric Tomlinson, 3 penalties. Eric Tomlinson was the worst of them all because he's committed 3 penalties. But you had guys not hauling in passes left and right. You had Herndon with 1 hit him in the hands. You had Walford with 1 hit him in the hands. Neil Sterling. Just a terrible performance by this tight end group. And it's something I think you have to be worried about heading into the season. This was bad. Bad, 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 bad. Bad, 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 bad. It was unbelievable how the terrible performance. And this is what I'm expecting out of the tight end position heading into the season. That's what I find concerning, is I don't see where the upside is with this group. Again, maybe Herndon long term, but Jeremy Bates likes to use the tight end. I mean, that's kind of, he's a Shanahan guy in the Shanahan offense. This is not an offense that's going to, you'll see a heavy use of spreading the field typically. Well, the Jets need to, because their wide receivers are a lot better than the tight ends. This is not a position where, this is not a team that should constantly be looking at 2 tight end sets. There aren't 2 good tight ends on this roster. There's not 1 good tight end on this roster right now. Maybe that'll change. Maybe Sterling will pick up his play or something like that, get back to the way he played in the first. But even in the first preseason game, it's not like he was stretching the field vertically. It was catching a few drags on, catching a few passes over the middle where the Jets are just designing a short pass to get the ball out of Darnold's hands quickly. Oh, man. Tight end position. Brutal in this game. And another thing you could say was pretty darn bad was the secondary, which Jets are paying a lot of money at cornerback. They're, you know, second highest cap hit at cornerback in the league. And starters, Eli Manning throws 188 yards in the first half. I mean, guys don't play the full game. If the starters play the second half, who knows, maybe the Jets play a little bit better then. That's pace to throw, give up over 350 yards over a full game. You give up 188 yards in 2 quarters. Morris Claiborne gets beat deep once. Buster Skrine repeatedly getting beat. Tremaine Johnson playing pretty well. I mean, he, you know, had a break up on a deep pass once when he was targeted. So Tremaine Johnson held up his end of the bargain, although part of me wonders just, why would you attack Tremaine Johnson when you can get a completion off screen anytime you want? And, you know, this is concerning because of how much money. This defense is pretty much built to be able to, if the Jets can't lock down receivers one-on-one, I mean, I don't know what they're going to be able to do defensively. And what concerns me is that 2 of your top 3 corners, even despite the amount of money they're being paid, despite even some of the hype they're getting, 2 of the top 3 corners, Tremaine Johnson's put together a solid career, but the other 2, Claiborne and Skrine, neither of them's put together a full quality 16-game season in the NFL. Claiborne, the closest thing he ever came to that was last year when he played well for like maybe the first half, the first 3 quarters of the season, and the year kind of fell apart after he got a little banged up, which has been a, you know, constant story in his career. You know, and during the game, I heard a few people say, well, it's okay, you know, the Jets were blitzing a lot in this game. Well, that's what this defense is. I mean, you know, these guys are going to have to hold up one-on-one. The Jets don't have a pass rush. So, you know, very concerning that these guys did not play. And I don't want to overstate the impact of a preseason game, because at the end of the day, preseason doesn't matter that much. But the stuff I saw in this game was, you know, kind of concerning, I think, in terms of the secondary, in terms of, you know, how these guys played back there, because this is what you want. And the Giants have a pretty good skill group, but, you know, some of their key guys were not out there in this game. So this was, kind of concerning. You know, this was not the type of performance that's gonna you want to play. And again, I don't want to say that this is the end of the season, but I did watch this and I said, you know, these guys got exposed. And maybe I am overstating it. Maybe I am going a little overboard. But you're heading into the third preseason game. You want your team to instill confidence in you, and that was not what you got in this game from the Jets. You got just really pretty much every concern that I had going into this game got exposed. So I'm not going to go into the regular season easy. I mean, I think that there are some pretty big issues with this team, and not one of them was put to bed by this performance. Instead, they were all kind of highlighted. And, you know, another big problem was just the fact that the Jets were penalized so much. 13 penalties in this game. And, again, the tight end position contributed plenty of them. And another group we're going to talk about at the end, because this group was just a special kind of terrible. But we'll get to that. We'll get to another group a little bit later. You know, penalties have been a theme of training camp. Jets have been flagged constantly reading about it. And you may not realize this. I never realized this till I actually went to a Jets training camp practice. There actually are officials at training camp. They actually are the guys who officiate the camp practices. So they're constantly, you know, it was one of the themes of camp this year. The Jets were just constantly being flagged and continued them to the tune of 13 penalties in this game. So that's not how you want to enter the season. And look, to some extent, part of the issues are that just that Jets are deficient in talent in a lot of areas. So when you're deficient in talent, you're going to commit penalties. You know, you're an offensive lineman and you're overmatched by a pass rusher, you're going to hold. You know, if you're a corner and you're overmatched by a wide receiver, you know, you're going to grab. That's, you know, why do you think Buster Skrine has so many penalties? He's kind of overmatched in a lot of areas. He's not a physically overwhelming kind of guy, and you know, when he gets to a matchup where that's not good, the other guy beats him. So when you get beat, you grab. But some of these are just discipline penalties. I mean, some of these are just, and I don't know what the answer is, because whatever, you know, Todd Bowles having these guys do push-ups when they commit penalties in training camp isn't working. So I mean, I don't know what the solution is for this team, but it's something that's going to have to be corrected heading into the regular season. Taking 13 penalties in the game obviously is not going to cut it. Let's finish by talking about the absolute worst group on this team in this game Friday. And this was these guys in the tight ends were just like cartoonishly bad. It's like these guys weren't bad. I mean, you might have to invent a word to describe how bad these guys were, and that includes them and the tight ends and that group's special teams. And I'm not expecting the Jets to have a great special teams this year, but I mean, this was Kotite level bad. I mean, you go back to the 90s and read like some articles in the New York Times archives, and like you laugh when you read them because it's almost impossible to believe that a special teams group can be as bad as those guys were under Kotite. And Ken Rose was the special teams coach, who's never coached again. He was a guy who was a pretty good special teamer as a player during his career. He played with the Eagles and the Jets. And Kotite hired him as the special teams coach, and he was unbelievable how bad the special. I mean, it was, again, you read some of these articles and you laugh and you say there's no way these guys could be that bad, where they're, you know, committing 6 penalties in a game on special teams. And I mean, there's one iconic play where Alex Van Dyke, who was a receiver the Jets took in the second round, he was a gunner on a punt team, and he essentially downed the ball inside the 5 and then took the ball into the end zone, and then later said, well, I didn't know that the rule was that if you take the ball into the end zone, it's a touchback. I mean, that's the type of special teams play you got in those years with the Jets. And this was, I mean, you couldn't make up how bad these guys were. I mean, it was almost comedic. They had 4 penalties. They fumbled a kickoff away, which Trenton Cannon, third fumble in 2 games as a return guy. That's, you know, he played himself out of a return role. They missed an extra point, partially a result of a penalty, but still extra point that has to be made by Taylor Bertolet. A 5-yard penalty should not be the difference between making and missing an extra point. And they allowed a punt return for a touchdown. They gave up another big return. The only thing that I'd say here that gives me some peace of mind with this group is, look, the secondary has me concerned, because I question how good these corners are after Trumaine Johnson. The tight end position has me concerned because these guys are not, you know, again, these guys are not that great. But the special teams, I'm not expecting them to be good, but it's impossible to sustain a level of play that bad They can't possibly. It's impossible unless you have Ken Rose as your special teams coach, which the Jets don't. I mean, Brant Boyer, I'm not sure how good of a coach he is. He certainly has not impressed me during his tenure with the Jets, but he's not that bad. He's not bad enough that this could continue. So at least you know the special teams will be better, because it can't. I mean, there's no way to go but off. I mean, it's impossible to sustain a performance that bad. It's unbelievable. I mean, I said during this game Friday, I don't believe that you should ever fire a coach based off a special teams performance. But man, Brant Boyer did his best to try and change my mind in this game, and I still don't think he should be fired off it. But because I still don't think you should fire a coach over a preseason game. You know, it's obviously preseason's where you work out some of the problems, but Brant Boyer did everything he could to challenge that viewpoint to get me to reconsider, because that was, I mean, that's almost like you can't believe your eyes how bad these guys were. So this was just, I mean, not a good performance by the Jets at all in almost any phase of the game, almost any phase of this game. Offensive line, you know, I could go on. Offensive line, another really bad performance. They actually were better in pass protection in this game, but they couldn't run block at all. You know, you go up and down. You could just go up and down the roster. Not a type of performance that really can, to the extent you can be worried about a preseason game, it should concern you quite a bit. And I don't want to go overboard, but it's the type of game that left me questioning. You know, the Falcons game, that first preseason game, everything went great, but the starters didn't play that much. And, you know, there was all this good feeling around this team. This is the game that really makes me question where the Jets are heading this year, because I think that there are a lot of talent deficiencies. And, you know, it's not so much that they played poorly in preseason, but what I saw was a lot of the areas where I kind of went in thinking the Jets had talent deficiencies, they were showing talent deficiencies in this game. So not really the way you want to head into the regular season, but it's where the Jets are heading. And, you know, we'll just go from here. The one good thing that I take from it is that at least the quarterback doesn't look overwhelmed, at least the young. So, I mean, this is a year that's largely more than wins and losses. It's about, you know, getting the quarterback some experience. And look, there are going to be some bad moments for him this year. You're going to see more moments like that intentional grounding penalty. But he doesn't look like he's in over his head. So the way the rest of the team's looking, I mean, I don't see it. If Sam Darnold's not the starting quarterback week one, if it's Teddy Bridgewater, I almost think it's a business decision by the Jets, because the only way for me it makes sense to not start him is if, you know, business-wise, the Jets know that maybe they're not going to have much of a year, so you start the year with the excitement of the new season, and then maybe you build to, if the season doesn't start out well, you can get the fans excited again a second time by putting Darnold, and it'd be kind of a second opening day. Outside of that, I don't see any reason why the Jets wouldn't start him, because nothing else is looking that great for this team right now. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and do leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Take care. Have a great Monday. I'll see you again on Tuesday.